Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
It is a stormy Saturday in these parts. Humidity in the air, thunderstorms about. And we will continue to keep you up to date on what's going on the radar. There still is a line of thunderstorms west of the Twin Cities and some big storms to the south down in the Faribault and Owatonna area. But the severe storms along the river in southeast Minnesota, and these are just north of Winona. There's a number of severe thunderstorm warnings up there, and those continue to move away from the Twin Cities area. Right now, let's go outdoors. Steve Carney joins us, stevecarneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how's the week been?
Very interesting. Good afternoon, Steve. Yeah, it was kind of a mixed bag of success and failures this week, trying to dodge the high winds and the heat that came in is really... It's been kind of tough. You know, I've been out really early in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and trying to get off by 11. And there's no way I'm going to be sitting out in this heat on these sunny afternoons when it's, you know, in the upper 80s. It's just too tough on your body. But really early is the name of the game. It's always, you know, very easy to get that morning bite done. And fishing's been pretty good. A lot of lakes are changing right now. This warmth we've had has really spurred the weed growth. So there's some lakes that I've been doing well on that I'm just going to kind of move to some different lakes because they're getting not quite unfishable, but very difficult, you know, to try to teach people to fish through these weeds. They've gotten so high so far. And my strategies is basically switching to the bigger lakes, the bigger clear water lakes that aren't quite as accelerated, you know, with weed growth yet. And water temperatures have spiked a good 10 degrees in the last 10 days. So we are right smack in the middle of July, pretty much where we're supposed to be, Steve.
Yeah, it is funny how things find a way to work out. You know, we had that super mild winter, but the spring, as it turned out, kind of cool and wet, and here we are, middle of July, and things are about normal. And before long, we kind of get into what is called the dog days, if you will. Are we there yet? Are we there to the dog days when the bite really slows down?
Oh, I wouldn't say yet, Steve. I think it's going to be a while. We'll have to see how long these 70s. We got 70s coming in Lakes Country next week. We'll see how long those last. And we're starting to get some other information in the field now, too. The grouse count, rough grouse count in northern Minnesota is significantly up. They have, you know, a normal 10-year cycle where they, you know, do very well. And then it's kind of a, you know, something they do. They have been forever, but it looks like we've had a real spike in numbers, which is really good. And on the flip side, the pheasants down in southern and southwestern Minnesota really took a beating with this rain. And it sounds like a lot of those nests were flooded out in May and the beginning of June with all the high rain. And I've got reports from people that say a lot of these public management spots down there are completely underwater, and that's never been the case. So
Wow. You
kind of got that flip-flop of good grouse, bad pheasants. At least that's the way it sounds so far. But, you know, pheasants have an ability to re-nest, you know, if they fail the first time. So hopefully they'll be able to do that. But, yeah, it's kind of a good news, bad news thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And you did point out we've got a hot weekend. And then by July standards, a cool week. As you mentioned, 70s. We're going to see 70s even here in the cities and maybe back into the 80s by the end of the week. So that means a little cooler in the overnight. So that big jump in water temps is going to stall.
Yeah, we're kind of at a crossroads right now, Steve. You know, we've been talking the last couple of months that water temperature was lingering in the 60s. Well, now it's around 74. So if we start getting more 90s, we're going to be up in 80 degrees, and you really don't want that. So I'm hoping the 70s come up. We'll just settle things down a little bit. You really don't want to get over 80 degrees. That can be very, very tough, very tough conditions. So hopefully we'll stay in the 70s, and, you know, we're just going to scooch along here and hope that, you know, those water temperatures kind of stay put.
Steve Kearney joining us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And, Steve, I would assume you're going to be very busy close to home next week in Lakes Country.
Yeah, that's the way it looks. You know, we got Game Fair coming up in less than a month.
Wow.
Believe it or not, it's that time again. And, yeah, we'll be doing that. And I'll be doing seminars all 6 days there, so that'll be fun. And that's when you know when the real heat comes in. Every year it's like that in that beginning of August. It never fails. It's going to be either a deluge of rain or it's going to be 101. It's like never normal. But, you know, we'll deal with it when it happens. It's always an adventure.
Yeah, and no matter what, you're going to get some hot days at the State Fair as well. You can count on that. For sure. All right, Steve, good to visit with you. And once again, good luck on the water this week.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Have a great rest of your weekend.
There he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow. There's going to be a problem with that. We have the Twins and the Giants in a 3 o'clock start. So Josh doesn't look like Rob's going to have another show. But I think, based on the schedule, this is it. But typically on Sundays, we have Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News with his show Sunday between 5 and 6. But Twins and Giants tomorrow, a little bit later start. We'll have Inside Twins at 2, pregame 2:30, first pitch after 3 o'clock. And that is the final game before the All-Star break. Speaking of the All-Star break, Bobby Nightingale joins us from All-Star Festivities in Arlington, Texas. Futures game today. Bobby's going to join us in about an hour from Arlington. Of course, Carlos Correa and Willie Castro are going to be representing the Twins in the Midsummer Classic on Tuesday. And the draft is coming up. And Bobby did a piece on who the Twins are looking at and who may end up being drafted by the Twins, and who knows, on the fast track out of the big leagues. We'll get into that in about an hour. Once again, our pregame lineup card today, Twins and Giants from San Francisco at 5:30, first pitch at 6:15 tonight. In San Francisco, cloudy, cool, 64 degrees. And it goes back to an old, old joke. And this is old-time comedian W.C. Fields was asked, where's the coldest winter he's ever spent? He said, the coldest winter I ever spent was summer in San Francisco. It is 4:15 here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. And we have a brand new warning. A severe thunderstorm warning has been issued for southwestern Goodhue and east central Rice County. And this is in effect until 4:45 today. This came out just a few minutes ago. And by the way, the severe weather alert brought to you by Honest Exteriors. Once again, radar showed a thunderstorm located near Nurstrand, or 6 miles southeast of Northfield, moving east at just 10 miles an hour. Very slow moving. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. Hail damage, wind damage, also possible. And here are the communities. Northfield, Cannon Falls, Kenyon, Dundas, Nerstrand, Bridgewater, and Nerstrand, Big Woods State Park. So if you're, and that's just south of the cities. And that is a severe thunderstorm warning for southwestern Goodhue in southeastern Minnesota and east central Rice County in south central Minnesota. And that's in effect until 4:45 today. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. And we've been calling out those big storms moving away from the Twin Cities down in the Winona area. And all the warnings are now east of Winona and south of Eau Claire in Wisconsin. And that continues to track away. And there is also a very large thunderstorm, an isolated thunderstorm, southwest of the Twin Cities area. And this appears to be in that area just northeast of St. Peter and east of Le Sueur. So that kind of gives you an idea. And once again, there are scattered showers and thunderstorms about on a very unsettled Saturday here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we'll have another update here in about 10 minutes at 4:30 on News Talk 830 WCCO. And Josh Wheeler, unsettled weather Saturday. There's no doubt about it. And we're certainly not out of the woods when it comes to potentially stormy weather overnight tonight. We could see more.
Yeah, it looks like based on the radar that I'm looking at here on my computer screen, it looks like we do have one that's kind of sitting, looks to be out kind of in the Dakotas, kind of sitting and waiting, slowly making its way across central Minnesota over probably the next handful of hours. Of course, as I pull it up here, my radar doesn't want to load quite yet because timing is everything in radio. But when I looked in the last half hour, there was a pretty good system. It was a lot of red, to be completely honest with you. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, if maybe the plains or the landscape in the Dakotas is a little bit different than here in the cities. But there was a lot of red from what I was seeing on the radar just about a half hour ago. And it was estimated to be in the metro area by 8:30, 8:45. So we got another batch, it looks like, on its way here later tonight.
We brought it up earlier with Shaletta at the end of her program. Caitlin Clark is coming to town, if you haven't heard. And this is a very tough ticket. Now, I would not put it in the category of tough ticket, Taylor Swift tough ticket, or U.S. Olympic gymnastics trials tough ticket. But nevertheless, if you want to get into Target Center and you want to go on the secondary market, you're going to pay to get in the building.
Looking at StubHub right now, actually. There is.
Ah, you're trying to get in the building?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't get in with my CCO membership or anything like that. I don't go to the Minneapolis club like Shaletta either, so I can't go that route as well. Tickets aren't actually too bad on the upper level. There are still sitting in the kind of $50 to $100 range if you do sit
$50 to $100 to sit upstairs.
But here's the catch. You're basically hanging from the rafters. It's like row M and higher, which I guess if you want. But when it comes to a superstar like Caitlin Clark, I feel like you almost want to be – it's not like a playoff game where you're in the building, you're getting the atmosphere. I think it's more so you want to be as close as possible. And sitting row Z in 238 is not something I probably would want to pay for, but that's just me. I love Caitlin Clark as much as anybody.
I wouldn't lower bowl at Target Center. Fine. First 8-10 rows of the upper level. That's where that building shows its age.
Yeah.
When you get upstairs, you're way too far away from the action, particularly on the ends at Target Center. Now, I know even for Timberwolves games, they put tarps over the seats or they cover up those seats to lower the overall seating capacity of the building. But that's as much as anywhere where Target Center shows its age. Way too many of the seats are way too far away from the floor. So
Yeah, it's kind of how I see, you know, the U.S. banks, the target fields were, especially U.S. Bank. Sitting upper level in U.S. Bank is not worth the price of admission for me, and that's why I don't go to a lot of Vikings games, because it's basically you are watching ants from up there. It's just not a good – I'd much rather watch the game from the comfort of my own couch, you know, grab a few beers, grab some food, watch the game in the comfort of my own home instead of sitting up there paying, you know, just over $100, if not more, for a ticket to just watch a bunch of ants scurry around on a football field for 3 hours. Right. It's just not worth it.
Well, and here's the dirty little secret that I'm going to share. And you can look it up and you can check it out. But the affordable seats that average guy, the average gal can afford in modern stadiums and modern arenas are further away from the action. Because new stadiums and new arenas are built getting the expensive seats as close to the action as possible. And I'm talking about not only the elite seating down at floor level or close to the rink or close to the floor or close to the field, but then you want your club seats and your suites as close as possible. So the affordable stuff for the general public are further away. U.S. Bank Stadium is a great example of that. And I would argue for the average Joe, the average Jane, the sight lines, and I'm just talking football sight lines, not amenities, not, you know, cool features and boards and audio systems, just the sight lines for football were, for the average fan, better in the Metrodome. That's my opinion. But you're absolutely right. The upper level at U.S. Bank Stadium, you're way up there. It's no thanks. No thanks.
Yeah,
I just
good.
Have no interest.
Now flip that, though. I'm a huge, huge buyer and a huge, huge fan of paying for upper level seats at the X to watch the Wild play.
You can
see all the action just fine at the X because it doesn't feel so far away.
Because they brought you in close to the ice.
Yeah.
You know, it's an intimate building and it seats 18,000 people. Yes. But Target Center on the drawing board in the late 80s opened in the early 90s after a year in the Metrodome. Those seats, as far as I'm concerned, on the ends upstairs are worthless.
Yeah.
It's just, really? I'm better off at home watching it on TV. And by the way, Lynx Fever tomorrow on ESPN at 3 o'clock our time. It is 4:29 here at News Talk 830 WCCO. We're in that part of the schedule where you get the ESPYs Award, you have the All-Star break, the WNBA gets a lot of time in the limelight. But this summer will be interesting because you're going to have the Summer Olympic Games and NFL training camps getting started around the same time. That is going to be quite a convergence of major moments in North American sport. We'll get into that in more detail. But most importantly, a weather update moments away here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Yeah, and there are reports that eccentric fitness guru Richard Simmons has died. He just celebrated his 76th birthday on Friday. The L.A. Police Department responded to his home after a 911 call from his housekeeper and found Simmons dead. According to police sources, he appears to have died of natural causes, and no foul play is suspected. So that story breaking this afternoon, fitness guru Richard Simmons found dead at the age of 76.
Dust off those VHSs, Steve. Get them ready.
Yeah. He was a frequent guest with Letterman, if memory serves, and they would kind of go back and forth. I always believed it was a bit between Simmons and Letterman over the years. A lot of great bits with David Letterman, but damn, Richard Simmons has passed away. So, once again, we'll have more from CBS coming up at 5 o'clock. And we should point out, Twins play a little bit later today in San Francisco. Our coverage begins with the lineup card at 5:30, first pitch at 6:15. Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound as the Twins try and bounce back from a disappointing game one in that series on Friday night where they got beat 7-1. We'll have some highlights, some post-game audio before 5. And then Bobby Nightingale will join us. He is not with the team, but he is down in Arlington, Texas. He is at the Futures game today and then will remain there and cover the Twins in the All-Star game, and that is Carlos Correa. And Willie Castro will represent the Twins and the American League in the All-Star game beginning on Tuesday night. You know, I don't know about you, Josh, but the All-Star game is still a big deal, the Midsummer Classic. There isn't a ton going on head-to-head on the sports schedule. As I mentioned, the Olympics are coming up later. The NBA and NHL in the middle of their offseason. The NFL hasn't started in training camp. And this year, an Olympic year, the Olympics coming up at the end of the month in Paris. So it's the stage for MLB on Tuesday night. But I will say this, and I don't know how you feel about it, but they need to restore one thing to this wonderful tradition and this wonderful part of the Midsummer Classic. Carlos Correa and Willie Castro should be wearing their Twins uniforms. You know, and American League is the home team this year because it's in Arlington, Texas, home of the Texas Rangers. They should be wearing their home whites, and the National League teams should be wearing their road grays, and that's it. End of story. You know, I don't understand. And if you've had a chance to see the AL and NL uniforms this year, they're brutal.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're bad beer league softball uniforms. They're terrible.
I think the beer league actually made them. Rumor has it.
Yeah, for sure. And this is something where MLB and the grand game of baseball has been around so long in the tradition and the numbers in the history. This is one thing they get 100% wrong.
Yeah.
How much pride would Twins fans get seeing Carlos Correa step to the plate in a Twins uniform? When I was a kid, and the All-Star game was a much, much bigger deal, And I can remember Harmon Killebrew way back in the day representing the Twins in the All-Star game. But yeah, Tony Oliva. But later I remember Rod Carew before he went and joined the Angels. Mid-70s, perennial All-Star. It was awesome to see Rod Carew in his Twins uni representing the club in the All-Star game. It was like, there's our guy. There's Sir Rodney Carew. And then later, of course, Kirby and all the other great players over the years. I just don't understand. Now, I know they're trying to sell merch. Who's buying this version of these All-Star Game uniforms? That I want to know. Who's shelling out money? Because they're ugly.
Are you saying you're not going to buy one?
I am not going to buy one. So I just wanted to get that off my chest today. Just make it easy. Send your guys to the All-Star game with their uniforms, and they'll wear it with pride.
Steve, I'm not going to leave you on an island. This is you're not alone in this. You want to know what was great about the All-Star game because they were wearing jerseys? I'm going to turn the clock back and play a little highlight real quick since we have a little bit of time.
Sure.
Back when the teams used to wear their jerseys, you'll probably remember this one as well. How about that, Steve?
Yeah.
Barry Bonds almost going yard, and Miller Park, and here comes Torrey Hunter, our savior.
Robs him.
Yes, one of the all-time great memories of being a Twins fan as a kid, and that was back when you wore
He had a Twins uni on.
Yes, yes. This is gonna make me sound very old, but I'd love being able to identify who is on our team by looking in the dugout or looking on the field. Like, oh, there's a Twins player. He's wearing a Twins jersey. That's our guy. But let's be honest.
It's pride for the fans. Yeah. And MLB and the appeal of MLB is it's a local thing. And Brewers fans or Twins fans or Cardinals fans or Royals fans or whatever want to see their guy. I want to see Correa's going to get into the game and is going to play at shortstop. And if he makes a phenomenal play at shortstop, I don't want it to be in some random American League beer league softball uniform. I want him to make a great play in the All-Star game wearing a Twins uniform. Yeah. End of story. And I just don't understand why the clubs don't go to MLB and demand that the guys wear their team's uniforms in the game. You know, I watch a number of videos of All-Star games over the years, and you see, you know, once again, you know, the late, great Kirby Puckett being announced and trotting onto the field. You know, that's cool. But, you know, if Kirby was just wearing some random American League uniform, it's like, yeah, okay, love Kirby, but I want him in a Twins uniform. You know, or for that matter, Joe Mauer is going into the Hall of Fame this year. That's what I believe, and I think MLB could right a wrong.
You knew the All-Star game and business was about to pick up when you saw Johan Santana coming onto the field with his white striped Twins uni on.
Yes.
It's a good feeling.
Absolutely. So I'll still watch. It's still the best
All-Star game. We've had this discussion on the show before.
Not even close.
It's the best All-Star game of the four major sports still. They haven't tampered with it too much outside of maybe the Home Run Derby, but that is pretty much it. It still has as much grandeur as it does, you know, back when we had it here in 2014. It's the best time of the year.
Yeah, the NBA is a pickup game at the Y with great talent.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know what I mean?
It's summer league. It's a really hyped up summer league game, yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing about summer league. These are kids trying to get a shot. The NBA All-Star game is, you know, these guys that have signed contracts for $300 million, you know, out there fooling around on national television. Now, the NHL, I've given them credit. They've tried to change the format to make it more interesting, and I think the 3-on-3 tournament is a good move. Is it hockey? Is it not really? It's a 3-on-3 tournament, and they kind of do it by division, and I'm fine with it. And then the Pro Bowl has just gotten to the point where and the NFL AFC NFC Pro Bowl game, you know, is been a joke for decades. Yeah,
nobody cares. They might as well play that on Madden at this point and just broadcast and stream it or something. Like nobody cares about the Pro Bowl.
So baseball is a game that you can still play at full speed, that you can send out pitchers. And if Johan Duran had made the team and they bring him into the game in the late innings, you know he's going to be able to throw 100 miles an hour. You know, they're not pulling any punches in an MLB All-Star game, and that's why it's still the best. But the one thing they can do to make it great again is do away with the AL and NL uniforms. Please. All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll have another update on the weather. We'll have some Twin sound from Friday night. Wasn't a good night for the home nine in the Bay Area against the Giants. San Francisco won it 7-1. We'll have that for you here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. More on the Twins following the news and weather right now. We want to get you up to date on the latest weather. A couple of more warnings have popped up just south of the Twin Cities area. And this severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for eastern Le Sueur and southwestern Reyes County until 5:15. A few minutes ago, a severe thunderstorm located over Le Sueur, 21 miles west of Faribault, moving southeast at just 10 miles an hour. At 4:40, a train spotter reported quarter-size hail near Le Sueur, 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, and quarter-size hail. This includes Montgomery, Le Sueur, Waterville, Kilkenny, and St. Henry. So be aware of that. Severe thunderstorm warning for eastern Le Sueur County and southwestern Rice County until 5:15. This is south of the Twin Cities metro area. Another warning we want to bring you up to date on is that severe thunderstorm warning just south of the Twin Cities metro area, and this was in the area of Northfield. This was southwestern Goodhue and southeastern Rice County. And now this is in effect until 5:30 today. At 4:44, a severe thunderstorm was located over North Strand, or 11 miles southeast of Northfield, moving southeast at 10 miles an hour, just crawling along, dumping torrential rain, golf ball size hail, and 60 mile an hour wind gusts reported. And this is coming from emergency management. So this one, once again, the last two, a train spotter and now emergency management, seeing these storms on the ground. So that is worth keeping in mind. And then we have a brand new warning along the Mississippi River, and this is in the Winona area. And there is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 5:15 for northwestern Winona, southeastern Wabasha, and southeastern Buffalo counties in Wisconsin. Ping pong ball size hail and 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. And this was located near Plainville, or 13 miles southwest of Alma, moving east a little quicker at 30 miles an hour. And this could be in the Winona area at around 5:10. So you're up to date on the latest weather. And once again, those warnings south of the Twin Cities and southeast of the Twin Cities at this hour. Here in the Twin Cities, quiet for now. As a matter of fact, sun is shining in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul, 79 degrees, plenty of fuel in the atmosphere with our dew point at 71. And, of course, that heat advisory goes into effect and will be in effect until 8 Sunday for the Twin Cities. Tonight, still a chance of showers and thunderstorms at a low near 71. And then on Sunday, sunny and hot, highs around 90 with those dew points way up there. So you're up to date on the latest weather. We'll have the news at 5. And then, of course, more on our weather. And then Bobby Nightingale will join us from Arlington, Texas. State of the All-Star Game festivities, Futures game today. The Twins have a member of their organization playing in the game. And then, of course, Willie Castro, Carlos Correa will be in the game Tuesday night in Arlington. Oh, by the way, who might the Twins select in the upcoming amateur draft? We'll get into all of that with Bobby. And then count you down to our lineup card at 5:30 today. Once again, pregame lineup card at 5:30, first pitch at 6:15. Game two of the three-game set, Twins and Giants. It'll be Woods Richardson for the Twins, Birdsong for the Gigantes. San Francisco won at 7-1 on Friday night. We're going to take a break. We'll have all the news and weather at 5 here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Steve Thompson alongside producer Josh Wheeler. Here on CCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It is a stormy Saturday in these parts. Humidity in the air, thunderstorms about. And we will continue to keep you up to date on what's going on the radar. There still is a line of thunderstorms west of the Twin Cities and some big storms to the south down in the Faribault and Owatonna area. But the severe storms along the river in southeast Minnesota, and these are just north of Winona, there's a number of severe thunderstorm warnings up there, and those continue to move away from the Twin Cities area. Right now, let's go outdoors. Steve Carney joins us, stevecarneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how's the week been?
Very interesting. Good afternoon, Steve. Yeah, it was kind of a mixed bag of success and failures this week, trying to dodge the high winds and the heat that came in is really... It's been kind of tough. You know, I've been out really early in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and trying to get off by 11. And there's no way I'm going to be sitting out in this heat on these sunny afternoons when it's, you know, in the upper 80s. It's just too tough on your body. But really early is the name of the game. It's always, you know, very easy to get that morning bite done. And fishing's been pretty good. A lot of lakes are changing right now. This warmth we've had has really spurred the weed growth. So there's some lakes that I've been doing well on that I'm just going to kind of move to some different lakes because they're getting not quite unfishable, but very difficult, you know, to try to teach people to fish through these weeds. They've gotten so high so far. And my strategies is basically switching to the bigger lakes, the bigger clear water lakes that aren't quite as accelerated, you know, with weed growth yet. And water temperatures have spiked a good 10 degrees in the last 10 days. So we are right smack in the middle of July, pretty much where we're supposed to be, Steve.
Yeah, it is funny how things find a way to work out. You know, we had that super mild winter, but the spring, as it turned out, kind of cool and wet, and here we are, middle of July, and things are about normal. And before long, we kind of get into what is called the dog days, if you will. Are we there yet? Are we there to the dog days when the bite really slows down?
Oh, I wouldn't say yet, Steve. I think it's going to be a while. We'll have to see how long these 70s. We got 70s coming in Lakes Country next week. We'll see how long those last. And we're starting to get some other information in the field now, too. The grouse count, rough grouse count in northern Minnesota is significantly up. they have, you know, a normal 10-year cycle where they, you know, do very well. And then it's kind of a, you know, a, something they do. They have been forever, but it looks like it's had a real spike in numbers, which is really good. And on the flip side, the pheasants down in southern and southwestern Minnesota really took a beating with this rain. And it sounds like a lot of those nests were flooded out in May and the beginning of June with all the high rain. And I've got reports from people that say a lot of these public management spots down there are completely underwater, and that's never been the case. So wow, you kind of got that flip-flop of good grouse, bad pheasants. At least that's the way it sounds so far. But, you know, pheasants have an ability to re-nest, you know, if they fail the first time. So hopefully they'll be able to do that. But, yeah, it's kind of a good news, bad news thing.
Yeah, no doubt. And you did point out we've got a hot weekend, and then by July standards, a cool week. As you mentioned, 70s. We're going to see 70s even here in the cities, and maybe back into the 80s by the end of the week. So that means a little cooler in the overnight. So that big jump in water temps is going to stall.
Yeah, we're kind of at a crossroads right now, Steve. You know, we've been talking the last couple of months that water temperature was lingering in the 60s. Well, now it's around 74. So if we start getting more 90s, we're going to be up in 80 degrees, and you really don't want that. So I'm hoping the 70s come up. We'll just settle things down a little bit. You really don't want to get over 80 degrees. That can be very, very tough conditions. So hopefully we'll stay in the 70s, and, you know, we're just going to scooch along here and hope that, you know, those water temperatures kind of stay put.
Steve Kearney joining us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And, Steve, I would assume you're going to be very busy close to home next week in Lakes Country.
Yeah, that's the way it looks. You know, we got Game Fair coming up in less than a month.
Wow.
Believe it or not, it's that time again. And, yeah, we'll be doing that. And I'll be doing seminars all 6 days there, so that'll be fun. And that's when you know when the real heat comes in. Every year it's like that in that beginning of August. It never fails. It's going to be either a deluge of rain or it's going to be 101. It's like never normal. But, you know, we'll deal with it when it happens. It's always an adventure.
Yeah, and no matter what, you're going to get some hot days at the State Fair as well. You can count on that for sure. All right, Steve, good to visit with you. And once again, good luck on the water this week.
All right, thank you, Steve. Have a great rest of your weekend.
There he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow. There's going to be a problem with that. We have the Twins and the Giants in a 3 o'clock start, so Josh doesn't look like Rob's going to have another show. But I think, based on the schedule, this is it. But typically on Sundays, we have Rob Dreeslein from the Outdoor News with his show Sunday between 5 and 6. But Twins and Giants tomorrow, a little bit later start. We'll have Inside Twins at 2, pregame 2:30, first pitch after 3 o'clock. And that is the final game before the All-Star break. Speaking of the All-Star break, Bobby Nightingale joins us from All-Star Festivities in Arlington, Texas. Futures game today. Bobby's going to join us in about an hour from Arlington. Of course, Carlos Correa and Willie Castro are going to be representing the Twins in the Midsummer Classic on Tuesday. And the draft is coming up, and Bobby did a piece on who the Twins are looking at and who may end up being drafted by the Twins, and who knows, on the fast track out of the big leagues. We'll get into that in about an hour. Once again, our pregame lineup card today, Twins and Giants from San Francisco at 5:30, first pitch at 6:15 tonight. In San Francisco, cloudy, cool, 64 degrees. And it goes back to an old joke. And this is old-time comedian W.C. Fields was asked, you know, where's the coldest winter he's ever spent? And he said, the coldest winter I ever spent was summer in San Francisco. It is 4:15 here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. And we have a brand-new warning, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued for southwestern Goodhue and east central Rice County. And this is in effect until 4:45 today. This came out just a few minutes ago. And by the way, the severe weather alert brought to you by Honest Exteriors. Once again, radar showed a thunderstorm located near Nurstrand, or 6 miles southeast of Northfield, moving east at just 10 miles an hour. Very slow moving. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. Hail damage, wind damage, also possible. And here are the communities. Northfield, Cannon Falls, Kenyon, Dundas, Nurstrand, Bridgewater, and Nurstrand, Big Woods State Park. So if you're, and that's just south of the cities. And that is a severe thunderstorm warning for southwestern Goodhue in southeastern Minnesota and east central Rice County in south central Minnesota. And that's in effect until 4:45 today. 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. And we've been calling out those big storms moving away from the Twin Cities down in the Winona area. And all the warnings are now east of Winona and south of Eau Claire in Wisconsin. And that continues to track away. And there is also a very large thunderstorm, an isolated thunderstorm, southwest of the Twin Cities area. And this appears to be in that area just northeast of St. Peter and east of Le Sueur. So that kind of gives you an idea. And once again, there are scattered showers and thunderstorms about on a very unsettled Saturday here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And we'll have another update here in about 10 minutes at 4:30 on News Talk 830 WCCO. And Josh Wheeler, unsettled weather Saturday. There's no doubt about it. And we're certainly not out of the woods when it comes to potentially stormy weather overnight tonight. We could see more.
Yeah, it looks like based on the radar that I'm looking at here on my computer screen, it looks like we do have one that's kind of sitting, looks to be out kind of in the Dakotas, kind of sitting and waiting, slowly making its way across central Minnesota over probably the next handful of hours. Of course, as I pull it up here, my radar doesn't want to load quite yet because timing is everything in radio. But when I looked in the last half hour, there was a pretty good system. It was a lot of red, to be completely honest with you. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, if maybe the plains or the landscape in the Dakotas is a little bit different than here in the cities. But there was a lot of red from what I was seeing on the radar just about a half hour ago. And it was estimated to be in the metro area by 8:30, 8:45. So we got another batch, it looks like, on its way here later tonight.
We brought it up earlier with Shaletta at the end of her program. Caitlin Clark is coming to town, if you haven't heard. And this is a very tough ticket. Now, I would not put it in the category of tough ticket, Taylor Swift tough ticket, or U.S. Olympic gymnastics trials tough ticket. But nevertheless, if you want to get into Target Center and you want to go on the secondary market, you're going to pay to get in the building.
Looking at StubHub right now, actually. There is.
Ah, you're trying to get in the building?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't get in with my CCO membership or anything like that. I don't go to the Minneapolis Club like Shaletta either, so I can't go that route as well. Tickets aren't actually too bad on the upper level. There are still sitting in the kind of $50 to $100 range if you do sit
$50 to $100 to sit upstairs.
But here's the catch. You're basically hanging from the rafters. It's like row M and higher, which I guess if you want. But when it comes to a superstar like Caitlin Clark, I feel like you almost want to be – it's not like a playoff game where you're in the building, you're getting the atmosphere. I think it's more so you want to be as close as possible. And sitting row Z in 238 is not something I probably would want to pay for. But that's just me. Caitlin Clark as much as anybody.
I wouldn't lower bowl at Target Center. Fine. first 8-10 rows of the upper level, that's where that building shows its age.
Yeah.
When you get upstairs, you're way too far away from the action, particularly on the ends at Target Center. Now, I know even for Timberwolves games, they put tarps over the seats or they cover up those seats to lower the overall seating capacity of the building. But that's as much as anywhere where Target Center shows its age. Way too many of the seats are way too far away from the floor. So...
Yeah, it's kind of how I see, you know, the U.S. Banks, the Target Fields, where, especially U.S. Bank, sitting upper level in U.S. Bank is not worth the price of admission for me, and that's why I don't go to a lot of Vikings games, because it's basically you are watching ants from up there. It's just not a good, I'd much rather watch the game from the comfort of my own couch, you know, grab a few beers, grab some food, watch the game in the comfort of my own home instead of sitting up there paying, you know, just over $100, if not more, for a ticket to just watch a bunch of ants scurry around on a football field for 3 hours. Right. It's just not worth it.
Well, and here's the dirty little secret that I'm going to share. And you can look it up and you can check it out. But the affordable seats that average guy, the average gal can afford in modern stadiums and modern arenas are further away from the action because new stadiums and new arenas are built getting the expensive seats as close to the action as possible. And I'm talking about not only the elite seating down at floor level or close to the rink or close to the floor or close to the field, but then you want your club seats and your suites as close as possible. So the affordable stuff for the general public are further away. U.S. Bank Stadium is a great example of that. And I would argue for the average Joe, the average Jane, the sight lines, and I'm just talking football sight lines, not amenities, not, you know, cool features and boards and audio systems, just the sight lines for football were, for the average fan, better in the Metrodome. That's my opinion. But you're absolutely right. The upper level at U.S. Bank Stadium, you're way up there. It's no thanks. No thanks.
Yeah,
I just have no interest.
Now flip going that, though. Upstairs. I'm a huge, huge buyer and a huge, huge fan of paying for upper-level seats at the X to watch the Wild play.
Oh,
you can
yeah.
see all the action just fine at the X because it doesn't feel so far away.
Because they brought you in close to the ice.
Yeah,
you know, it's an intimate building, and it seats 18,000 people. Yes, but Target Center on the drawing board in the late 80s opened in the early 90s, after a year in the Metrodome, those seats, as far as I'm concerned, on the ends upstairs, are worthless. It's just, really? I'm better off at home watching it on TV. And by the way, Lynx Fever tomorrow on ESPN at 3 o'clock our time. It is 429 here at News Talk, 830 WCCO. We're in that part of the schedule where you get the ESPYs award, you have the All-Star break, the WNBA gets a lot of time in the limelight. But this summer will be interesting because you're going to have the Summer Olympic Games and NFL training camps getting started around the same time. That is going to be quite a convergence of major moments in North American sport. We'll get into that in more detail. But most importantly, a weather update moments away here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. Yeah, and there are reports that eccentric fitness guru Richard Simmons has died. He just celebrated his 76th birthday on Friday. The L.A. Police Department responded to his home after a 911 call from his housekeeper, found Simmons dead. According to police sources, He appears to have died of natural causes, and no foul play is suspected. So that story breaking this afternoon. Fitness guru Richard Simmons found dead at the age of 76.
Dust off those VHS. Dust off those VHSs, Steve. Get them ready.
Yeah. He was a frequent guest with Letterman, if memory serves. And they would kind of go back and forth. I always believed it was a bit between Simmons and Letterman over the years. A lot of great bits with David Letterman. But, damn, Richard Simmons has passed away. So, once again, we'll have more from CBS coming up at 5 o'clock. And we should point out, Twins play a little bit later today in San Francisco. Our coverage begins with the lineup card at 5:30, first pitch at 6:15. Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound as the Twins try and bounce back from a disappointing game one in that series on Friday night where they got beat 7-1. We'll have some highlights, some post-game audio before 5. And then Bobby Nightingale will join us. He is not with the team, but he is down in Arlington, Texas. He is at the Futures game today and then will remain there and cover the Twins in the All-Star game, and that is Carlos Correa. And Willie Castro will represent the Twins and the American League in the All-Star game beginning on Tuesday night. You know, I don't know about you, Josh, but the All-Star game is still a big deal, the Midsummer Classic. There isn't a ton going on head-to-head on the sports schedule. As I mentioned, the Olympics are coming up later. The NBA and NHL in the middle of their offseason. The NFL hasn't started in training camp. And this year, an Olympic year, the Olympics coming up at the end of the month in Paris. So it's the stage for MLB on Tuesday night. But I will say this, and I don't know how you feel about it, but they need to restore one thing to this wonderful tradition and this wonderful part of the Midsummer Classic. Carlos Correa and Willie Castro should be wearing their Twins uniforms. You know, and American League is the home team this year because it's in Arlington, Texas, home of the Texas Rangers. They should be wearing their home whites, and the National League teams should be wearing their road grays, and that's it. End of story. You know, I don't understand. And if you've had a chance to see the AL and NL uniforms this year, they're brutal.
Yeah, they're not good.
They're bad beer league softball uniforms. They're terrible.
I think the beer league actually made them. Rumor has it.
Yeah, for sure. And this is something where MLB and the grand game of baseball has been around so long in the tradition and the numbers in the history. This is one thing they get 100% wrong.
Yeah.
How much pride would Twins fans get seeing Carlos Correa step to the plate in a Twins uniform? When I was a kid, and the All-Star game was a much, much bigger deal, And I can remember Harmon Killebrew way back in the day representing the Twins in the All-Star game. But yeah, Tony Oliva. But later I remember Rod Carew before he went and joined the Angels. Mid-70s, perennial All-Star. It was awesome to see Rod Carew in his Twins uni representing the club in the All-Star game. It was like, there's our guy. There's Sir Rodney Carew. And then later, of course, Kirby and all the other great players over the years. I just don't understand. Now, I know they're trying to sell merch. Who's buying this version of these All-Star Game uniforms? That I want to know. Who's shelling out money? Because they're ugly.
Are you saying you're not going to buy one?
I am not going to buy one. So I just wanted to get that off my chest today. Just make it easy. Send your guys to the All-Star game with their uniforms, and they'll wear it with pride.
Steve, I'm not going to leave you on an island. This is you're not alone in this. You want to know what was great about the All-Star game because they were wearing jerseys? I'm going to turn the clock back and play a little highlight real quick since we have a little bit of time.
Sure.
Back when the teams used to wear their jerseys, you'll probably remember this one as well. How about that, Steve?
Yeah.
Barry Bonds almost going yard and Miller Park, and here comes Torrey Hunter, our savior.
Robs him.
Yes, one of the all-time great memories of being a Twins fan as a kid, and that was back when you wore
had a Twins uni on.
Yes. This is gonna make me sound very old, but I'd love being able to identify who is on our team by looking in the dugout or looking on the field. Like, oh, there's a Twins player. He's wearing a Twins jersey. That's our guy. But let's be honest.
It's pride for the fans. Yeah. And MLB, and the appeal of MLB is it's a local thing. And Brewers fans or Twins fans or Cardinals fans or Royals fans or whatever want to see their guy. I want to see Correa's going to get into the game and is going to play at shortstop. And if he makes a phenomenal play at shortstop, I don't want it to be in some random American League beer league softball uniform. I want him to make a great play in the All-Star game wearing a Twins uniform. Yeah. End of story. And I just don't understand why the clubs don't go to MLB and demand that the guys wear their team's uniforms in the game. You know, I watch a number of videos of All-Star games over the years, and you see, you know, once again, you know, the late, great Kirby Puckett being announced and trotting onto the field. You know, that's cool. But, you know, if Kirby was just wearing some random American League uniform, it's like, yeah, okay, love Kirby, but I want him in a Twins uniform. You know, or for that matter, Joe Mauer is going into the Hall of Fame this year. That's what I believe, and I think MLB could right a wrong.
You knew the All-Star game and business was about to pick up when you saw Johan Santana coming onto the field with his white striped Twins uni on.
Yes.
It's a good feeling.
Absolutely. So I'll still watch. I'm still in on the All-Star game.
It is by far the best, still the best All-Star game. We've had this discussion on the show before.
Not even close.
It's the best All-Star game of the four major sports still. They haven't tampered with it too much outside of maybe the Home Run Derby, but that is pretty much it. It still has as much grandeur as it does, you know, back when we had it here in 2014. It's the best time of the year.
Yeah, the NBA is a pickup game at the Y with great talent.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know what I mean?
It's summer league. It's a really hyped up summer league game, yeah.
Yeah, here's the thing about summer league. These are kids trying to get a shot. The NBA All-Star game is, you know, these guys that have signed contracts for $300 million, you know, out there fooling around on national television. Now, the NHL, I've given them credit. They've tried to change the format to make it more interesting, and I think the 3-on-3 tournament is a good move. Is it hockey? Is it not really? It's a 3-on-3 tournament, and they kind of do it by division, and I'm fine with it. And then the Pro Bowl has just gotten to the point where and the NFL AFC NFC Pro Bowl game, you know, is been a joke for decades. Yeah,
nobody cares. They might as well play that on Madden at this point and just broadcast and stream it or something. Like nobody cares about the Pro Bowl.
So baseball is a game that you can still play at full speed, that you can send out pitchers. And if Johan Duran had made the team and they bring him into the game in the late innings, you know he's going to be able to throw 100 miles an hour. You know, they're not pulling any punches in an MLB All-Star game, and that's why it's still the best. But the one thing they can do to make it great again is do away with the AL and NL uniforms. Please. All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll have another update on the weather. We'll have some twin sound from Friday night. Wasn't a good night for the home nine in the Bay Area against the Giants. San Francisco won it 7-1. We'll have that for you here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. More on the Twins following the news and weather right now. We want to get you up to date on the latest weather. A couple of more warnings have popped up just south of the Twin Cities area. And this severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for eastern Le Sueur and southwestern Rice County until 5:15. A few minutes ago, a severe thunderstorm located over Le Centre, 21 miles west of Faribault, moving southeast at just 10 miles an hour. At 4:40, a train spotter reported quarter-size hail near Le Centre, 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts, and quarter-size hail. This includes Montgomery, Le Centre, Waterville, Kilkenny, and St. Henry. So be aware of that. Severe thunderstorm warning for eastern Le Sueur County and southwestern Rice County until 5:15. This is south of the Twin Cities metro area. Another warning we want to bring you up to date on is that severe thunderstorm warning just south of the Twin Cities metro area, and this was in the area of Northfield. This was southwestern Goodhue and southeastern Rice County. And now this is in effect until 5:30 today. At 4:44, a severe thunderstorm was located over North Strand, or 11 miles southeast of Northfield, moving southeast at 10 miles an hour, just crawling along, dumping torrential rain, golf ball size hail, and 60 mile an hour wind gusts reported. And this is coming from emergency management. So this one, once again, the last two, train spotter and now emergency management, seeing these storms on the ground. So that is worth keeping in mind. And then we have a brand new warning along the Mississippi River, and this is in the Winona area. And there is a severe thunderstorm warning in effect until 5:15 for northwestern Winona, southeastern Wabasha, and southeastern Buffalo counties in Wisconsin. Ping pong ball size hail and 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts. And this was located near Plainville, or 13 miles southwest of Alma, moving east a little quicker at 30 miles an hour. And this could be in the Winona area at around 5:10. So you're up to date on the latest weather. And once again, those warnings south of the Twin Cities and southeast of the Twin Cities at this hour. Here in the Twin Cities, quiet for now. As a matter of fact, sun is shining in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul. 79 degrees, plenty of fuel in the atmosphere with our dew point at 71. And, of course, that heat advisory goes into effect and will be in effect until 8 Sunday for the Twin Cities. Tonight, still a chance of showers and thunderstorms at a low near 71. And then on Sunday, sunny and hot, highs around 90 with those dew points way up there. So you're up to date on the latest weather. We'll have the news at 5. And then, of course, more on our weather. And then Bobby Nightingale will join us from Arlington, Texas. Start of the All-Star Game festivities. Futures game today. The Twins have a member of their organization playing in the game. And then, of course, Willie Castro, Carlos Correa will be in the game Tuesday night in Arlington. Oh, by the way, who might the Twins select in the upcoming amateur draft? We'll get into all of that with Bobby. And then count you down to our lineup card at 5:30 today. Once again, pregame lineup card at 5:30, first pitch at 6:15. Game two of the three-game set, Twins and Giants. It'll be Woods Richardson for the Twins, Birdsong for the Gigantes. San Francisco won it 7-1 on Friday night. We're going to take a break. We'll have all the news and weather at 5 here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Steve Thompson alongside producer Josh Wheeler. Here on CCO.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
You gotta take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.